beautiful.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I'm not sure if I should turn this way and like go around like that. But you know what? No matter where we are, no matter how many there are, no matter where we're seated, we are together and we are all surrounded by Christ's love. And that's the essential thing that we must never forget. Welcome to this Joy Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent. Wanted to just announce that we had our Christmas dance on Thursday night here, the Christmas family dance party, and it was really a joyful time. Peggy was there, and you can ask her, and I do have some pictures, but there were people of all ages, people who came with a family, some people who came without a family, children, young adults, and teens with special cognitive abilities and differences. We even had a family from Kenya. Now, honestly, they did not come like directly from Kenya for the dance, but it was wonderful to share that time with them, and thank you too for helping that to become possible. Just a reminder, on Wednesday evenings, this coming Wednesday, we'll have our final of three online devotions for Advent. If you haven't had a chance to see them, if you go to the address that's in your bulletin, you'll see last week's. And Mrs. Clifton makes an appearance in that one, too. She was our special guest. We also, you will notice the Cliftons are not here today, and it's not that they didn't want to. In fact, Pastor Tom and I had a little back and forth on the texting, like, no, please, I'm your boss, dude. But so I just asked him to please stay home out of an abundance of caution. He was very snowed in their driveway, so they send their love to all of you. Are there any other announcements today that I'm missing? Next week after service is the Christmas party, so we look forward to that as well. Oh, and the congregational meeting. You know, we had our congregational meeting at Mount Nebo just this morning, and we still got done by 10 to 10. So the congregational meetings, if you've never been to one before, they're not really that long, and they're not that bad. So it's going to be wonderful. And the angel tree gifts are due next week, too. Next week, too, also. Thank you. All right. Well, then, let us begin formally our worship of God, even though we have already done that with our smiles and certainly our music. You can find the call to worship printed in your bulletin or on the screen. Joy is the gift God gives us upon waking in the morning to see beams of sun dance in dusty corners or hear much-needed rain, even on a leaky roof.
Joy
is the magnificence of the Redeemer when tests come back clear, or when a school test is finally passed, or when the spirit is tested and chooses faith over fear.
Joy is the hands that hold our own while we sit silently and wait.
Joy is the patience of Emmanuel when petty disagreement turns into great injustice and change is slow to bend towards what's right and good.
Joy is the small actions we take each day to help righteous peace.
And please rise in body or spirit as we sing together, Prepare the Way, O Zion.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Great Redeemer, too often we allow the idea of absolute happiness to block the existence of joy from our daily lives. Our hopes are crushed under the weight of the world's sorrows, and our peace is disturbed by the agonies of an interconnected existence. We race towards solutions without pausing to meditate on the greater good. We lay bare the sorrows we carry without acknowledging the small delights that make the fight against injustice worthwhile. Relieve us of the pain we wear as a badge of honor, ignoring your love even as it surrounds us. Beloved, it is true, our loving God does not spare us from pain, as empathy is born from suffering. But neither does God remove joy from our lives as a punishment for our indiscretions. We are bound together with a sacred braid of hope, peace, and joy, destined to hold fast against the greatest adversities. In faith, no anguish can take hold completely, no sorrow can completely outweigh the possibility of joy. Praise be to God. Let us say together what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ,
our Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us offer to one another some sign of Christ's peace and love.
Today we light a third candle, the candle representing joy.
We celebrate the coming of the one who brings great joy to the world.
Prepare the way of the Lord with joy.
In the midst of waiting, we remember that joy is found not in what we have, but in who we welcome, the Savior, our true joy.
Prepare the way of the Lord with joy.
When the world feels heavy, we choose to lift our hearts in joy, knowing that God's presence with us brings light into the darkest places.
Prepare the way of the Lord with joy.
We celebrate the good news that Christ is near, and with his coming, joy is made complete in our hearts and in our lives.
Prepare the way of the Lord with joy.
In times of sorrow, we cling to the joy that is rooted in the hope of Christ, the joy that cannot be taken away.
Prepare the way of the Lord with joy.
O God, we open our hearts to the joy of your presence and prepare to welcome Christ, the greatest gift of all. May the joy of Christ fill our homes, our communities, and our world as we await his coming in glory.
Prepare the way of the Lord with joy.
We come before God formally in prayer. I know that we all carry many concerns, spoken and unspoken, shared, and ones we are not even able to share with those closest to us. We want to continue to pray for Santana and for Steve and for BJ. And we want to continue to think of others, Betty Manise, and those who were not able to be here with us today, because I know that so many did. I got many texts this morning saying, I'm going to stick inside today. So hearts are with us, even if bodies are not present. We pray for safe travels for everyone who does have to go out today. And safe travels, too, for Lynn's daughter, Cassidy, who is going to be flying in from London for the holidays, which is wonderful. And we pray for safe travels, and we celebrate that joy with her, too. Is there anyone else that has anything they'd like to share? I know that's not often done, but it's just a Baptist thing, and you never know when the Spirit's going to move. Yes, Lynn.
Prayers for Thanksgiving that we have heat.
Yes, Lynn did not have heat for a long time. She was old frozen toes. It was young frozen toes. It was terrible, so I'm so glad. I got a text yesterday with a working thermostat, and that was very nice. That was good. Excellent. Yes, indeed. Let us pray. Among the poor, among the proud, among the persecuted, among the privileged, Christ is coming to make all things new. In the private house, in the marketplace, at the wedding feast, in the judgment hall, Christ is coming to make all things new. With a gentle touch, with an angry word, with a clear conscience, with burning love, Christ is coming to make all things new. Within us and without us, among us, before us, in this space and every space, for this time and all time. Christ, we know you are coming to make all things new. And even as we know this, we cannot help but worry about our siblings near and far. Even as we know you are present now, we're always present, and that you are coming again, even though we know your love is victorious, we mourn our losses, and we ache for your loving justice in every place. Help us, O God, help us to feel you walking beside us through the trials before us. Help us to stand tall to help others who need that sense of a person walking alongside them. We pray all this and the unspoken concerns of our hearts in the name by which we know you well and best, the name of Jesus. He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And let us rise in body or spirit and sing It Came Upon the Midnight Clear, hymn number 123. Please be seated and may the ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering.
Morning's reading is from Isaiah 35, 1 through 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and shouting. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be opened, and the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
And I love that poetry of that text, especially, which is put in there, I'm assuming to be a little cheeky, where it says, no one, not even fools, will be denied this promise of God. Because I'm certainly a fool. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So 20 years ago, when I was in my 30s, I had a lot more energy, and I worked at the Bethel Park Library, and we all just happened to really click and get along really well. It was about 40 of us, and especially in the children's department, we were very close. And one of the things we loved to do after work, four or five nights a week, was karaoke. And we would go to different places, Duke Station and the trolley stop, and but sometimes we'd venture to the North Hills and sing anywhere that we could, especially me and my buddy Noreen. Noreen and I were very, very close, and we would often duet together. And it was wonderful, except that Noreen could really sing, and as you know, I really can't. Well, one night on the stage, the floor of the Rochester Inn, you know where that is? Yeah. Yet Noreen and I sang Barry Manilow's Can't Smile Without You, and we were booed off the stage and asked to leave. We weren't drinking, everybody else was. We thought we'd get a pass. It was a great, great song. And the karaoke guy, DJ Eric, I remember him saying to us, "Ladies, that song, wrong place, wrong song, wrong time, all the time." And it was. We were singing the wrong song in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I wonder if there's been times in your life when you've ever been in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, likewise, I've been in the right place at the right time, the most absolute right place. I remember about 5 years ago now, a resident at Fair Oaks asked if I would officiate at her grandson's wedding. "Sure, where's the wedding?" And I thought it would be in Upper St. Clair or Dormont or somewhere, because that's where she had lived in the South Hills before she moved to the assisted living. And she said, "Oh, it's in a little church. It's a beautiful little church. It's out in Shaler. And it's called the Valley, Glenshaw Valley. Do you know it?" And I said, I do. I've known it all my life. And I said, "Yes, and I did. And Clara was here during that rehearsal. And a relationship began with your sacred community." I was in the right place at the right time. But the sermon title today, if you looked at it, it's "The Wrong Place at the Right Time." And to me, that doesn't make sense when I thought about it first, because I thought, is there ever a right time to be in the wrong place? Like, is it ever a right time to be up at Fody's Bar on Mount Royal? And I just say that for the bad joke, because they're actually really nice, because one time they let me use the restroom when I was out for a jog. So no shade on Fody's. But this beautiful poetry in Isaiah, according to most biblical scholars, it is in the wrong place in our Bibles. Now, most biblical scholars understand that Isaiah is not one book written all at once, but it's two, and possibly even three books woven together with different voices speaking God's truth across changing times. So there are chapters written at one period before the exile, then during the exile, and then after they'd been able to return home. And the first 39 chapters, they call that Proto-Isaiah. These chapters focus on judgment and foreign invasion and what's coming. And the chapter right before this one is filled with warnings of destruction. But then here, you turn the page, you turn the chapter, Isaiah 35, and we read, "The wilderness and dry land will be glad. The desert will rejoice and blossom. The waters will break forth in the wilderness. There'll be streams in the desert." It's like a melodious record scratch. Here's some joy. Here's God's love. Here's God's joy breaking through where it is least expected. Just like the imagery, a pool in sand, a spring of water in parched ground. And scholars, okay, so maybe they have determined, yes, that this poetry here, this reminder of God's ancient promises for a glorious future, it's in the wrong place, but yet it comes right at the time when the people needed it the most. And the creators of the lectionary, they have put this text right in the right place for the right time on Joy Sunday. I know that many of us don't really believe in our hearts when we are singing, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." I know people who are carrying heavy, heavy loads right now. And indeed, the world is in a state. But yet here in Advent, here when we celebrate this Joy Sunday, we have a text that reminds us that God's joy can't be contained. It's going to burst forth in the strangest of places, and suddenly we have despair interrupted. Are you familiar with Holocaust survivor Viktor Frankl? He has the book Man's Search for Meaning, and I have a young friend, and he just lives by this book. It's informed his whole way of looking at life, and I highly recommend reading it. But he wrote about his time in Auschwitz saying this. This is one experience he had. "One evening when we were already resting on the floor of our hut, dead tired with soup bowls in our hand, a fellow prisoner rushed in and asked us to run out to the grounds and see the wonderful sunset. Standing outside, we saw sinister clouds glowing in the west, and the whole sky alive with clouds of ever-changing shapes and colors, from steel blue to blood red. And the desolate gray mud huts provided a sharp contrast, while the puddles on the muddy ground reflected the glowing sky. And after minutes of moving silence, one prisoner said to another, 'How beautiful the world can be.'" Can you imagine that, being a prisoner at Auschwitz, being able to look up at the sky and still realize that God's beauty and God's joy have broken through the evil that people have done? Now, the sunset didn't free them. It didn't keep many of them from being murdered, but it was a holy moment, and it kept Frankl going, and so many others. Despair interrupted. And joy can be misunderstood, especially Joy Sunday, because sometimes we think joy fixes everything, that it ends the suffering, that the world is suddenly okay. But even the incarnation in the baby Jesus was not a cure-all. Indeed, Jesus, the child, came into the world in an occupied land. There was violence, there was fear. Herod was already looking to kill him. And the family fled almost immediately. Yes, joy had arrived in this beautiful child, Emmanuel. But the world was not yet healed. Indeed, we know it isn't today, with occupation and violence and fear still. But God's ancient promise of joy was manifested in the birth, the incarnation, a vulnerable baby from a refugee family on the run. Now, in the spring of 2023, my buddy Noreen, my singing partner, she was receiving hospice care for a cancer that it was not an easy time. And when I went to visit her, her husband would always leave the room because he knew that there would be singing as best we could. And we did sing. We sang every time that I got to be with her. And we laughed and we cried and we held hands. We sang "Can't Smile Without You" and nobody threw us out. And we felt each other's joy, and we felt God's sustaining joy. And she couldn't be cured. She died a couple of days after our last time together, but she was made whole in God's embrace. And it's just so telling of our God that God's joy in a death camp, joy at a hospice bedside, joy in occupied Bethlehem, joy in countries ruled by tyrants, joy still can bloom in the wrong place at the right time, like water in a desert, like a sunset behind barbed wire. God's promise breaks through to say, I am still here. That is the joy. Amen. And I invite you to stand, rise in body or spirit, and sing our closing hymn, We Light the Advent Candles.
Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all those whom you love this day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen.